Belcher, Personal Growth and Justice. How are ya? Inexplicably, Chubby Checker will not be standing on stage tonight, but we will salute the other five worthy acts who will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2016. Along the way, some forgotten 45s give hints to some of the acts we think should be inducted, perhaps next year. We'll also do a salute to some of the ACM winners earlier this week and a send-off to country legend Merle Haggard. Inspiration, action, challenge, success stories, and as we rock, mock, and roll, the mock part, you know, is the musings from the pop culture and political sideshow. The debate over the debate is over on the Democratic side, but now it's who's more qualified, Hillary or Bernie? Come on, guys. Don't start acting like Republicans now. Speaking of the GOP, Donald Trump is trying to shore up his ground game as he tries to avoid that possible pesky contested convention. We'll talk about all of that and get you in the mix, too. Are you listening live? It is Friday, April 8th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. It's also opening home game for the National League Championship New York Mets. Unfortunately, it feels like a February midday, but hopefully they can pull off a victory as they get their National League Championship rings and raise the banner. That's all coming your way. Whether you're listening live or on podcast, hey, don't fret. You can always chime in, you know, 24/7 on Twitter at AB Writes. Anything, everything on your mind, feel free to join us. Show today being brought to you in part by Lowe's. Looking for spring spruce-up ideas and great savings? Find them at Lowe's. Also by AT&T, mobilizing your world, and by PopNet. Arts, culture, and conversation on air, online, 24/7. PopNet features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. So let's get started with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, class of 2016. I'm going to start with the band that got the most votes on the fan ballot. Chicago, long overdue, brazen, bold fusion of rock and jazz catapulted the group, which was originally called Chicago Transit Authority, to stardom in 1969. They were so bold and brazen, they released their debut album, self-titled Chicago Transit Authority, as a double album set. Who does that? They did. And kind of egged on by the city that spawned them, Chicago, shortened their name to simply Chicago, and had a slew of hits. I mean, we're talking 11 top 10 singles, five consecutive number one albums, 11 number one singles, 21 top 10 singles. There you go. I mean, just so many great songs. I mean, think about some of those titles that you know, that you love. Saturday in the Park, Make Me Smile, Does Anyone Really Know What Time It Is? It goes on and on. And what a great pulsating and very distinctive sound they offer. So why weren't they inducted sooner? That's the big question, but they are now, long overdue, as they take the stage tonight at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, both the band, so worthy of this induction, and their fans will feel stronger every day. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Join us. Twitter feed AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505.
Now
Wish list, Ricky Lee Jones on the Amy's at Thurkley Show and Danny's All-Star Joint. Never nominated and has been eligible for so many years now. And one wonders why Ricky Lee hasn't quite made the cut. At one point in her career early on, she was dubbed the female Bruce Springsteen. That was back when she burst on the scene with her first album and the big hit Chucky's in Love. Not too many chart-topping singles, but a slew of albums with various influences, and therein may lie the rub. Some jazz, some folk, certainly a stalwart on the alternative rock scene, and a really great performer live and on record. So we think Ricky Lee Jones should be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think we mentioned this last year. A couple of our listeners have chimed in this year as well. Where is she? So says Kylie and Rico. Thanks, guys, for chiming in. So you never know, as they say, maybe next year. Speaking of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees that have tried year after year to get in and finally made the cut, Steve Miller has made the cut. He will be inducted tonight with the other acts. And a lot of folks, including Spike, Lynn, and Pearlie, say it's about time. Yay, says Pearlie, but where's America and the Moody Blues? Well, yeah, you know, we've talked about this before. Those two are also on my wish list. Again, maybe next year. But Steve Miller also deserves it, for sure. He was a mainstay back in the 60s on the San Francisco music scene. That's when American culture was upended with psychedelia and all sorts of groundbreaking forces. He had albums like Children of the Future, Sailor, and Brave New World. He perfected a psychedelic blues sound and drew on the deepest sources of American roots music, simultaneously articulated a compelling vision of what music, and indeed society, could be in the years to come. So he was quite prescient in his sound and his energy. Then in the 70s, he crafted a brand of pure pop that was a little different. It was polished, it was exciting, it was irresistible, and it dominated radio back then in a way that very few artists have ever managed. Hit followed hit in what seemed to be an endless flow. You know these songs, Take the Money and Run, Rockin' Me, Fly Like an Eagle, Jet Airliner, Jungle Love, and they're still very recognizable. If you go to a Steve Miller concert, you will see a slew of fans from various ages. This is timeless music that has transcended generations. And he has got a handle on guitar playing like nobody's business. He's, I think, involved right now at Lincoln Center in the music education program. This is how passionate he is about the cause of music education and continuing the roots and traditions and passing them on to further generations. Good friends with the late Les Paul and Mary Ford. Really good stuff that he has produced over the years. Memorable music indeed. And, of course, you know, his classic, The Choker. Steve Miller, well-deserved induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2016.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. Because I speak of the pompousness of love. I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry. Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my loving on the run. Ooh.
Online, looking good.
Hey.
Midnight Mr. Postman, the Marvelettes. Twice nominated, not inducted yet on the Amy Beth Arquise Show, another group on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame wish list. And they've been inducted into a bunch of Hall of Fames, including the Pop Vocal Group Hall of Fame, the R&B Hall of Fame just last year. And that song, Please Mr. Postman, a number one million-selling 61 hit, which was also recorded by the Beatles and others, Carpenters, later on down the line, was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2011. So that big honor, maybe it'll come next year. It should. They have a great infectious sound. And among the listeners who wanted to induct the Marvelettes, we want to send shout-outs to David and Sally. Thanks, guys, for chiming in with your favorites on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame wish list. Another group that was on the wish list for oh so many years for so many fans has finally made it in. We're talking about Cheap Trick, you know, that quirky 70s sound that is all their own, so individual and so popular. By the time they first released their first album in 1977, they really haven't changed much, and they didn't have to. Their shows remain intriguing and sometimes hilariously funny. They had a pretty much unparalleled sound and success track record as well. Cheap Trick, led by Rick Nielsen's classic and perpetually fresh guitar sound, and that sweet power of Robin Zander's vocals. So they're there. They finally made it. Lots of people wanted them for a lot of time, and they wanted you, and they want you to want them to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And tonight, they will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2016. We're talking about Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
this a gag?
This is a government agency. You know we don't have a sense of humor.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and of course one of their big classics, I Want You to Want Me, and you're finally in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tonight on stage at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. We should mention HBO has dibs on the broadcast of the ceremony April 30th, so check your local listings, and of course as these things become available after the run on HBO, if you don't get it, it'll be on video and on demand in short order, as these things seem to be these days. So we asked you on the Twitter feed to tell us your favorite inductees this year and your wish list as well. And on our next inductee, Lion says, you know, I think the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame pretty much a joke, but they finally inducted Deep Purple, so I'm okay with it this year. Yeah, Deep Purple, a lot of folks wanted this hard rock stalwart to get inducted for years, because after all, if you think about a Mount Rushmore of hard rock, people have said it would only have three heads: Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and Deep Purple. They are considered the holy trinity of hard rock and metal bands. And Deep Purple's non-inclusion in the hall is a gaping hole, which must now be filled, and it will be filled tonight. It certainly has a certain pulsating sound that is its own, for sure. And they have sold over 100 million albums. Their flagship track, Smoke on the Water, eclipses Satisfaction, Born to Run, and Smells Like Teen Spirit as the number one greatest guitar riff of all times. So it's about time that Deep Purple, for all you fans and music aficionados, realizes its place in the 2016 class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Their classic, Smoke on the Water.
Love hard and don't let anybody else use your comb.
What more can we do? We are the drops, yeah, friends of civilization society. God save Mrs. Moss, the good old Mother Riley. We are the custard pie appreciation consortium. God save the George Crumb and all those who were loving him. Sherlock Holmes, English-speaking vernacular. Help save Fu Manchu, the Moriarty is secular. We are the office block, persecution affinity. God save the little shop, China cups and virginity. We are the skyscraper, condemnation affiliate. God save the Tudor houses, and the tables of millions. Love in the old ways, forbidding the view. Protect in the new ways, for me and for you. What more can we do? We are the British Group Preservation Society. God save Donald Duck, Porterville and Variety. We are the Desperate Dam Appreciation Society. God save Strawberry Jam.
Inductees, the Kinks, and a rarity, Village Green Preservation Society, a forgotten 45 for Dennis on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. And taking the rightful place in the hall tonight, class of 2016, Deep Purple and Smoke on the Water. At the Twitter feed at AB Rights, a lot of folks chiming in about their views regarding the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Lynn says, hey, I agree. Where's Chubby Checker, one of the most iconic rock hits, plus a slew of others, and a great performer? Yeah, I think we lamented this last year, that Chubby Checker, for some reason, is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, something I didn't know until a couple of years ago when actually during their induction acceptance speech, Daryl Hall mentioned he didn't understand it either. And I was like, he's not in? He's still not in. I don't get it. Frisco says, what happened to Joe Cocker and that petition to get him in? Yeah, it's true. A couple of years ago when Joe Cocker passed away, there was a posthumous petition circling about to get him in immediately 2 years ago. That didn't happen, and he hasn't gotten a nomination yet. So, you know, there are a lot of these people that are kind of snubbed. But we'll work on it. Our wish list, you never know. The cry of maybe next year will come into play. But this year we do have one more final worthy act, and it's a controversial one perhaps. But on the other hand, they have such an impact on so many. We're talking about NWA. The sounds of DJ Yella, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, and MC Ren. Words to describe this band? Unexpected, shocking, flawed, revolutionary, yet worthy. NWA's improbable rise from marginalized outsiders to the most controversial and complicated voices of their generation remains one of rock and roll's most explosive, relevant, and challenging tales. From their Compton, California headquarters, they let out a sound that exuded their plight. Unemployment, drugs, gangs, inner city life in a way that burst through society, transformed lives, and influenced oh so many other people. So, yeah, they're controversial, but they certainly deserve a place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Class of 2016, NWA, learning how to express it yourself.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Yo, Dre, you've been doing all this dope producing. You had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
All you got to do now, I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this.
I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on IQ, because it's steady get funky. When you got a subject and a predicate, add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing them. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or crack, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. My boy, and show you how your track.
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records are spinning again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch your brother blend, dope rhymes with no help. Sense of fencing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. So some musicians left at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to a lyricist. Your trade is a name for to make something dope on a record, that's what he came for. Kicking reality over saying itself, but it's important that you keep it in mind too. From the heart, cause if you wanna start to move up the chart, then expression is a big part of it. You ain't efficient when you flow, you ain't swift, moving like a tortoise, full of rigor mortis. There's a little bit more to show. I got rhymes in my mind, embedded like an embryo or a lesson. All of them expression, and if you start fessing, I got a Smith & Wesson for you. I might ignore your record because it has no bottom. I get loose in the summer, winter, spring, and autumn. It's Dre on the mic, getting physical, doing a job. The WA is the lynch mob. It's a macabre, but you know you need this. And the knot is going just like a fetus or a tumor. Well, here's the rumor. Dre's in the neighborhood, and he's up to no good. When I start expressing myself, yell and slam it, cause if I stay funky like this, I'm doing damage. Or I'ma be too hype and need a straight jacket. I got knowledge and other suckers lack it. So when you see Dre, a DJ on the mic, ask what it's like we're getting hyped tonight. Cause if a strike, it ain't for your good health, but I won't strike if you just spray yourself.
Pay attention. There will be a quiz on Monday. Not really.
Love Affair and One of a Kind Sound on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. They were twice nominated to be back-to-back nominations, I think, to get inductions into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Have not quite made the cut yet, but you never know. There's always next year. And, of course, NWA are our final inductees into the class of 2016, and Express Yourself. On the Twitter feed today, B. Riot, so Lenny says, yeah, I get NWA's relevance, but they're not rock. They're rap. They shouldn't be in the hall. Well, yeah, you know, Lenny, I don't know. We've had this discussion oh so many times. It's a pretty big umbrella phrase. I mean, if Donna Summer can be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Cat Stevens can be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, you're talking about different genres that kind of come under, they're subgenres under that one big heading of rock and roll. And I think the ship has sailed on who should be included and who shouldn't be in terms of genre anyway. But I get what you're saying, too. Also on the Twitter feed at Fritzy12 says, hey, if Donna Summer is in, we just mentioned her, then the Spinners should be for sure. Make the wish list. We'll see what happens if they make the ballot next year, and don't forget to vote. Tonight's the night for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, class of 2016 at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. HBO has dibs on the broadcast premiere April 30th. We will keep you posted, of course. In other news, have you been following the political sideshow? They settled the debate over the debates. The Democrats, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, will debate in Brooklyn this coming Thursday. On just a few days shy of the very important and perhaps game-changing New York primary, the polls are now closing in. It looks like 10 or 12 points between them. Hillary is still holding a lead, but at one point she had like a 25-point lead. I don't know if Bernie Sanders did himself any favors. I mean, he had a pretty good and bad week, if you look at it. He won the Wisconsin primary handily with 13 points above Hillary, although they kind of split the delegates evenly. So she still has a huge delegate lead. But for sure, the momentum is on his side. Hey, listen, Clinton people, I know you're throwing those cyber eggs at me, but I'm just telling you the facts. He won the 6 out of the last 7 or 7 out of the last 8 or however they do it. And he won fairly substantially in some of those contests. But he still has an uphill battle in terms of delegates. But he also had a bad week because he gave a sit-down interview with the Daily News, and he couldn't come up with too many specifics on his lofty agenda, including breaking up the banks, his issues on guns, foreign policy. He sounded very shaky and uncertain, and that doesn't bode well. On the other hand, they started debating qualifications with each other. Apparently somebody in the Sanders campaign got a hold of some kind of commentary or a memo, I'm not sure what it was, that the Clinton campaign said their strategy is to disqualify him and wrap this thing up. Well, he took that to mean he wasn't qualified, and he flashed his crazy rabbit finger fingers and said, she's calling me unqualified? Well, then she's unqualified, and it became this back and forth. I will say Hillary came out better because she kind of took the high road initially by just saying it's a silly question, it's up to the voters to decide that, and anyway, by the way, I'll take Bernie Sanders any day over Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. He echoed that today on the Today Show. They had twin appearances, apparently, and he pretty much said the same thing. I've known her for a long time. I respect her, and certainly she's much better than any of the Republicans. So there you have it. They've decided to both consider themselves qualified. But he does say he has the momentum, and this is why I think it's crucial that she wins. I keep saying this. It doesn't matter. You don't want her to limp into the convention with the votes, because then he'll start talking about trying to switch superdelegates. He keeps talking about the polls that show that he beats Trump more consistently, better, I should say. I say again, if you're trouncing Trump by 15 points rather than 10 points, what's the difference? You're still trouncing Trump, if that's really going to be the reality. I also think, I hate to say this, Sanders people, I keep saying it, just you wait. He's got a lot of baggage attached to him and hiding under that big jacket they're going to whip out, and it's not going to be as easy as it looks, I don't think. I've also been on record as saying I'm true blue, and I will vote for him if he gets the nomination, but I just think it might be a harder slog than he thinks it's going to be when things come out about him and his plans, which seem to be kind of nebulous. But that's where that stands. On the other side of the aisle, Donald Trump is trying to shore up his delegate situation by hiring some hotshots. I don't know why they didn't think about this before. Oh, yeah, I know why. Because it's all about Donald Trump, and I don't think he ever figured he'd get this far. And as somebody pointed out on TV, considering he's a billionaire, to use Bernie's inflection, he's running it on the cheap because he's financing his own campaign. At some point, if he gets the nomination, he'll have to take the RNC funds, but he doesn't want to throw a lot of money out to try to do this. But now he is, because if he gets the contested convention, general wisdom is it doesn't matter if he's only short by a few delegates. He probably won't win unless he changes his ways pretty darn fast. What do you think about that? I don't know. We'll see. As I said, I always rely on polls with a little, you know, I'm not so sure how they're going to play out, because they can be wrong and they do change. It's a snapshot of where the electorate is at this particular moment. But if they start adding up to be consistent, you start giving them more credence. And I think Nate Silver, the guy who's the king of the polls and predicting elections for the New York Times, I think he still has Hillary winning, but we'll see. That could change. Reach out with your views. Twitter feed AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. Speaking of politics, a country legend passed away who was pretty in tune with politics. And, in fact, he raised some eyebrows when he actually said he was supporting Hillary Clinton. And he likes President Obama. I mean, this is a guy of the deep country roots with a lot of people in the, you know, particularly in the South, who are country fans, who are not fond of Obama and Clinton and the Democrats in general. But Merle Haggard passed away the other day on his 79th birthday, and what an icon he has been to the country music scene and so many other singer-songwriters. His life, of course, was kind of like a country song. He started out hard scrabble in California. His parents were Dust Bowl refugees from Oklahoma. His dad died when he was 9, and his life kind of took a turn for the worse for a while as he got into petty crime. Spent time in and out of reform schools, and landed behind bars at San Quentin for a couple of years on a robbery charge. He actually saw Johnny Cash perform at San Quentin, that famous concert, and that transformed his life. And he got out of prison and worked hard at becoming a singer-songwriter. And there he was years later, met Johnny Cash, and the story goes, he said, you know, I saw you at San Quentin, and Johnny Cash said, I don't remember you being in the show. And he says, I wasn't in the show. I was in the audience. But he certainly transformed his life. Lots of awards, country awards, Grammy awards, Medal of Honor award, Kennedy Center honors. He made use of his outlaw ways, turned his life around, and he left his imprint. Merle Haggard, rest in peace. The music lives on. One of his classics, Okie from Muskogee.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free. We don't make party out of loving, but we like holding hands and pitching woo. We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco do.
And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball.
We still wave old glory down at the courthouse.
White lightning still the biggest thrill of all.
Leather boots are still in style for manly footwear. Beads and Roman sandals won't be seen. And football still the roughest thing on campus. And the kids here still respect the college dean.
And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball.
We still wave old glory down at the courthouse.
White lightning's still the biggest thrill of all.
And white lightning's still the biggest thrill of all.
Can we talk about your new album, Working in Tennessee?
Well, I'm excited about it. There's a lot of interest.
What I hate is what I hate.
There's a song called What I Hate that really kind of keeps sticking with me.
What I hate is statesmen speaking out of both sides of his mouth. We're going into this election year, and if I were a gambling man, I'd bet on it.
Have you been keeping track of what's been going on in the presidential race?
I think an ex-convict's got a real good chance. I probably ought to run. At least my past is all above board, and they won't have to spend much money to run a make on me.
Obama has certainly had a lot of challenges going into his administration. How do you think he's done so far?
I think he's probably got the next 4 years wrapped up. He took out Osama bin Laden. Now, the home front is kind of fiddling while Rome burns, you know. I mean, we're in trouble economically, and I don't think we can blame that all on one black man. I think that we spent 50 years getting ourselves in trouble. And it may take a lot of time to get ourselves out of it.
Could be holding you tonight.
Looking back, did you think that you were a poor child growing up?
No, I didn't. I was very, very well taken care of. We were poor. And when I was able to realize, I could see how poor we were. I'm smart enough to know that I've been gifted and that I've had a better than average shot at everything. I'm a deeply religious man. And I believe that if you give it a half a shot, that he'll help you. And he certainly has me.
What are you praying for these days?
Peace, harmony, health, and the family.
How long have you guys been married?
25 years.
It really hasn't been long.
Hasn't been that long. I'm real fortunate. I'm going to be 75. Got a bunch of false teeth in my mouth. But considering where all I've been and everything and what I've been through, I'm in real good condition.
Tonight. What I hate is a statesman speaking out of both sides of his mouth. What I hate is a war still going on down in the South.
far is the chance to change a little bit of it all. What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love is someone bright enough to see. What I hate is what I hate, and I always will. What I hate is someone mad enough to kill. What I love is someone with a heart that's really good. Now we can't change the whole wide world. Maybe we can change our neighborhood.
Show musing about what he hates and his reflections on politics, God, and the future on the eve of his 75th birthday a few years ago, and the classic Okie from Muskogee, which kind of stuck a finger in the eye of the hippies back in the late 60s. It is the A.B. Bethurkowitz Show. Twitter feed at A.B. writes, "Wow, Merle Haggard, thanks for playing him. He's great," so says Lucille. Yeah, he was a true icon, influenced so many singer-songwriters of his day. And Willie Nelson, who played with him so many times, by the way, just turned 82 today, posted on his Facebook page the other day upon Merle's passing, "I'll miss him. I love him. He was my brother." Mm-hmm. The legacy lives on. He influenced so many singer-songwriters, including, one would think, the man of the moment in Nashville, Chris Stapleton, who was toiling for years as a songwriter, burst on the scene just last year as a star in his own right, pulled a hat trick at the ACM Awards the other day, winning Male Vocalist of the Year, Album of the Year for his iconic Traveler, and Song of the Year, Nobody's to Blame. And I guess it's official, Chris Stapleton is a true country star.
She took down a photograph of our wedding day, ripped it down the middle and threw my half away, and I got nobody to blame but me. I got nobody to blame but me. She broke all my fishing rods, put my guns in hot, threw my clothes out in the yard and changed out all the locks, and I got nobody. got nobody to blame but me.
Baby, last night was hands down one of the best nights that I've had, no doubt. Between a bottle of wine and the look in your eyes and the Marvin Gaye, then we danced in the dark under September stars and the pouring rain. Then I know that I can't ever tell you enough that all I need in this life is your crazy love. If I never get to see the northern lights, or if I never get to see the Eiffel Tower at night, oh, if all I got is your hand in my hand, baby, I could die a happy man, yeah. That black dress makes it hard to breathe. You're a saint, you're a goddess, the cutest, the hottest, a masterpiece. It's too good to be true, nothing better than you in my wildest dream. And I know that I can't ever tell you enough that all I need in this life is your crazy love. If I never get to see the Northern Lights, or if I never get to see the Eiffel Tower at night, oh, if all I got is your hand in my hand, baby, I could die a happy man. Don't you know, baby? No fancy destination, baby, you're my greatest gift. We can stay at home, listen to the radio, dance around that fireplace. If I never get to build my mansion in Georgia, drive a sports car up the coast in California. Oh, if all I got is your hand in my hand, baby, I could die a happy man. Baby, I could die a happy man. Baby, I could die a happy man. Yeah.
Is the applause sign not working again?
Yeah.
everything changes like the desert wind. Here she comes and then she's gone again.
Track from Chris Stapleton's ACM award-winning album. Also in that Chris Stapleton ACM sandwich, we heard Nobody to Blame. That's from the Song of the Year. In between, Thomas Rhett grabbed the single of the year, Die a Happy Man, a live fan concert acoustic version, and Miranda Lambert and Little Big Town, the vocal event of the year, Smoking and Drinking. Miranda coming out the other end of a very bad year, but she'll make her way, as we all will. On the ACMs, didn't have a chance to play all the, you know, big winners, but we'll post a list for you, including Old Dominion as the best new duo or group, Kelsey Bellini as the best new female vocalist, and, well, Chris Stapleton, you heard the new male vocalist. There you go. Good show indeed. Twitter feed, AV writes, Katie chimes in. Hey, thanks so much for playing. The country music sounds so good sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. I love it, too. And, of course, the country music is known to congratulate themselves, so we'll have many more occasions, I'm sure, but it does sound good. And I like to blend I didn't see the ACMs this year, but I like to blend the old and the new, and I think at the other country music, the CMT Awards, they did that, where they have some old acts and new acts and groups from different genres that kind of do that cross-pollination thing, which I love so much. But it's fun to play the music sometime, indeed. And, of course, our tribute to the late, great Merle Haggard, one of the singular forces in country music for decades. Thanks for joining us on the Amy Beth Arkowi Show. We do want to give a shout-out before we get out of here to our Inspiration to Action Challenge success story this week. It is Bridie in Muncie, New York. She says, I'm dusting off some poems. Maybe I can get a chapbook together. What do you think? Thank you. You give good nudge, lady. I guess I'll take that as a compliment. Bridie, thanks for for noticing, I guess, I hope. Anyway, if the Inspiration Action Challenge has worked for you, hey, please give us a note over at the website, AmyBethArkawy, ArkAwy.com, easy access via the Twitter feed. I think it helps nudge other folks as well as gives you a nice big pat on the back that you deserve. If you need some cajoling, let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one is always on me. I do ask that you give me a week or two to connect, and we'll try to get you back on the right creative track. Speaking of creativity, you can check out my stories, The Eliza Gordon Mysteries, Killing Time, Dead Silent, I'm hoping. In short order, we'll see book number 3, Murder, She Tweets, on the roster as well. And you can also find out more about Chasing the Codex. That's the Cozy Cat Press Root Mystery. All up for grabs for Kindle, ebook, and paperback. So check it out. Why don't you? And thanks to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, Emil at headquarters. Thanks for playing with us in real time, but you can do so 24/7 on Twitter, as you know, at AB Writes. You can follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter at Radio Trudy. Friend me on Facebook and follow the Amy Beth Arkawy Show at the BTR site on Stitcher, on Mixcloud, iTunes, NetNow. You can download shows there, and you can also hear us select editions on the Amy Beth on the Arts Radio Network and PopNet. There you go. I kind of got it out. Hey, it's also opening day for the New York Mets, the National League champion Mets. They're going to put up their banner, and I guess the game's just getting underway, and get their championship rings. Just in time for the baseball season, Ron Darling, who was with the championship world champion Mets in 1986, and now is a broadcaster, I believe he still has that gig, I got to check it out today, released a book about how drugs and alcohol fueled the championship Mets. Kind of a controversial topic to bring up now, and of course he also laments that he gave up 3 runs in one of the crucial games. So there you go. I guess it's perfect timing in a way, but I'm not sure how they're going to address it on television, or will they? In any event, I hope you have a great weekend. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkawy Show. Take care.
Meet the Met. Step right up and greet the Met. Bring your kitty, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Because the Mets are really socking the ball. Knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side. Everybody coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New on the streets. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! Oh, they're hollering and cheering and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! All those fans are true to the orange and blue, so hurry up and come on down, 'cause we got ourselves a ball from the Mets of New York town. Coming down to meet me.